Well, let's turn to the book of John tonight. Book of John, chapter number 1. I want to read 9 verses and pray the Lord will just help us tonight. And I pray the Lord to help me preach, but I pray the Lord to help you listen, all right? I mean, you know, sometimes we forget that. But, you know, if he don't help you listen, you're not going to get anything anyway, amen? I pray he'll help you listen and understand it, amen? Not because of me, but because of him, amen? And I've got some witnesses tonight. Now, you all help me out, amen? Y'all help me out tonight. Sometimes they get a little quiet on me, you know. But I got some witnesses tonight, all right? All right. All right. John chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 9. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word as we read tonight. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, capital L. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Let's pray again. Father, help us tonight. I plead the blood upon this place, asking just that your will be done. I pray you'd form a vacuum over this and this place and just cast aside every demon tonight. Lord, every devil that would try to hinder and disturb. Lord, I just plead the blood again. Lord, thank God they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, I pray your presence be manifested in this place tonight. I sense your presence like I hadn't sensed it in a while. Oh, dear Lord, do something unusual tonight. Reach down, save that one closest to hell. Let them see truth and understand truth and get hold of you who is truth. And we'll thank you for what you do. Oh, dear Lord, help us tonight. I want to say I love you. Help me to love you more day by day, to walk in your will and way. Now take charge in this service. Let no one quench your spirit. And we'll thank you for what you do and give you glory for what's done. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on the subject, encounters on the road of light. Encounters on the road of light. Now, I've had a hard time in a way, but in another way I hadn't. I feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be tonight, and Brother Charles, it's unusual. I had to leave all my notes at home, amen, every one of them, amen. I did write down the title in case I had a lapse of memory where I remember it, all right. But encounters on the road to light. Now, before you understand the encounters, that means some meetings and things that happens on the road of light, you need to understand, first of all, what light is, amen. And I know what light is. That's there it is in the ceiling. That's the natural light. I mean, that's not the natural, that's electricity. That's man-made light, if you please. You say, well, the day we had the light of the sun, that's a natural light. But I'm talking about something spiritual tonight. Not just something, but someone. First John says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said, I am the light of the world. Amen. And you realize Ephesians chapter number 5, I believe it is, left hand page, right hand column. I mean, right there it says that all things are reproved by light. Nothing's made manifest without light. Now, if Jesus is light, and the Bible says, let me go back and look at our text verse there in verse number 3. And by the way, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, that's Jesus, who became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, amen. The incarnate God through a virgin's womb, amen. But he said, in him was life, amen. Verse 3 or 4 says, and the light was the light of men. But what does verse 5 say? It said, and the light shineth in darkness. That's in this whole world. Listen, we're in darkness. And light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Two things, two ways we could interpret that and not do Scripture injustice, okay? One of it is, it means that the darkness did not lay hold upon that light. Amen? They comprehended it not. And in a similar way to that, it's close to, the meaning is that they didn't understand the light. Boy, that's true, isn't it? I mean, they didn't, in other words, he came into the world. He was the light of the world. And Jesus said, while you have light, and I just got hold of this last Sunday, but he said in John chapter 12, verse 35, he said, while you have light, walk in that light. Order your step in that light, in that truth, in him. Amen. In verse 36, he said, believe the light while you have the light. And he said in verse 35, lest darkness come upon you. In other words, you need to believe what you can when you can, because if you don't act on what you know, you'll never come to be children of light. He said, if you walk in light and believe in light, there's a progression there in a sense that says there'll come a time that you shall be children of light. Amen? Now, you say, but preacher, what are you talking about? Well, let's talk about light. Let's look at the road of light now and understand that. What does the Bible say? Well, it doesn't use the term road of light in the King James Bible, but I want to tell you there's some other phrases that corresponds to what I'm trying to get across tonight. In other words, the point is, the Bible said in Matthew 7, 13, 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, and that's spelled S-T-R-A-I-T, which is a narrow, restricted place, no room for anything but just you and God. That's a birthing place. That's where life comes. Amen? He said, for straight is the gate. In other words, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the way, and broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there. But narrow is the way that leads to life. The straight gate, if you please. And he said, few there be that find it. Straight is the way. In other words, the narrow way is a corresponding word to what I'm trying to deal with tonight, the road of light. It's a narrow way to salvation. Many go on that broad way. Folks, you're not going to get saved on the broad way. You're going to have to turn from the broad way. Some of this modern religion we've got said, just come on in with everything you've got and just keep all your excess baggage. I won't tell you what, God's going to deal with that. He's going to deal with that. You may not be able to junk it before the point of salvation, but I want to tell you this, before you enter the straight gate, you're going to say it all junked. It ain't worth anything. I heard about a boy came down the altar after he'd come several times. One time, he was accounting the cost, and he was a young man, and he had some ponies and whatnot, some horses, and finally he got down to the place after he'd come to the altar several times. Thank God they let him come to the altar and deal with it, you know. And Brother Milby told about this. Amen. He said, finally, that old boy, one day he heard him down there at the altar, and he didn't know what he was planning, but all at once he hollered out, God, you can have them ponies. Amen. You're going to deal with it. Amen. You don't know what's standing in somebody's way, but it's a narrow way. You're going to have to turn from Broadway to the narrow way. Amen. Folks, I won't tell you, a lot of our Baptists today, all they did is turn from the Broadway to the narrow way, and one day, you know what they called it? Salvation. And they had never found the straight gate. The straight gate's over yonder, but it's a narrow way that leads to the straight gate. Amen. Now, you read Psalm 40. It says that back there in Psalm 40, the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. That means He came where I was. Amen. And He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the mire clay, and set my feet on the rock. That's Jesus. Amen. And you realize something, even though we're talking about a narrow way or a road of light that leads to life or the straight gate, I want to tell you, you're still in the mire pit of sin. He's got to come to where you are, amen. But it's still a turning in that pit from the broad way to the narrow way or the road of light that manifests something to your light, amen. Ephesians says. It's also called the way of understanding in Proverbs 21:16. I'll get it out in a minute. Proverbs 21:16, he said, yeah, I've done forgot it, amen. But he said, I mean, it's close enough. He just said, he that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. You know what most Baptists have done? Oh, I'm saved. They turn from the broad way to the narrow way, but they've never been through the straight gate over yonder. Then they backslide. Hey, that's not a New Testament doctrine, by the way. It's an Old Testament doctrine. And it's a false doctrine a lot today. Practice, and Baptists believe it, I believe. Amen. Practice it, trying to get their quota of sin in. Amen. But they turn to the broad way, they call it backsliding, then they turn back to the narrow way one day again, get back in church, and they call it rededication. I'm glad that Brother Charles said he rededicated and rededicated till his rededicator broke. Amen. Be like the guy who kept coming to the altar every meeting, every time they had a revival. He was out of church and wasn't right, but every time they had a revival, he'd come back, and about the time the week get over, he'd come sliding into the altar, you know, and he'd cry out, oh God, get the cobwebs out of my life. And he'd get up and live about right for 2 weeks and back right out in the world. Nothing changed. One day, after that happened several times, his wife got tired of it. He slid into the altar during revival. She slid in right beside of him. And he prayed, oh God, get the cobwebs out of my life. And she said, God, don't do it. Kill the spider. Amen. You know, y'all was talking about revival a while ago. I'm afraid a lot of people never been vibed. Y'all hear that? We can't get revived till we've been vibed, and a lot of people never been vibed. They've never turned from they may have turned from the broad way to the narrow way, but they've not walked the road of life and had some encounters on the road of life. It's called the way of understanding. That's also, like we would say, a path of understanding, a road of light. It's also called the way. And by the way, that way of understanding is a similar word to what the Greek construction of John 6:45 says, where it says, every man is, it is written. And by the way, that's a perfect tense verb in the Greek, which means it's on record. It was written down in time past and it stands on record today. Burn it, pen knife it, or whatever you want, and the Word of God's still on record today. Amen in heaven. And listen to what it said. It said, it is written, every man, not part of men and not a certain group of men, but every man shall be taught of God. Woo, that tears up a lot of doctrine, don't it? Amen. Every man's taught of God. But it also goes a little further and said, he therefore, and I may not have it word for word, but he said, he therefore that hath heard. Oh, you said that's good. Yeah, but that's not enough. And hath learned of the Father. And by the way, that little word of is from a preposition in the Greek, which also means from the Father, who sent the Holy Spirit to teach us. Amen? What does he do when he's heard and learned, understood some things? He cometh to me, Jesus said. That's that road of life. That's that narrow way. That's that path of understanding, or the way of understanding, that leads to the straight gate where life is. And along that path, along that way, along that road of life, there's some encounters. Amen? Where do we go from here? Let's talk about the encounters now, all right? Guess I got that good enough. You know what light is? Jesus, God, truth. Amen? He's the only one who can manifest anything to you, reveal anything to you. Amen? And it's a path, a narrow way that leads to life. Now then, you go back, you say, what's encounter? The first one's simple. God. First encounter you're going to have on the road of light is God Himself. Some way, somehow, some form. Now, I don't know how it's going to come, but Romans 1:19 basically says that inside man, there's a conscience that's God-shaped, and nobody but God can fill it. Religion won't fill it. Baptists won't fill it. Amen. I mean, professions won't fill it. Sex won't fill it. Premarital sex won't fill it. A job won't fill it. A Kentucky basketball won't even fill it. Amen. Dale Earnhardt won't even fill it. Lord, help us today. I ain't trying to be mean, but boy, we've got a lot of gods in this world. Amen. Amen. Nothing's going to satisfy. Aren't you glad that God wouldn't let you satisfied with all those kind of things you tried to fill that emptiness void with, Brother Tom? I just kept being a nagging doubt inside. That's God down inside trying to say, hey, I've got light, that there's a God. And you may think that's elementary, but folks, a lot of our Baptist folks don't even know that God exists. Well, they talk about it because it's taught about it. All they've heard is the name. But the Bible said in Romans 5:6 that we're without strength. It means that, and dead in Ephesians 2:1, that means that we're under the anesthesia of sin and have no consciousness toward God until God comes and stirs in us. Amen. But oh, when He comes and brings you to that knowledge of accountability and stirs you, the first thing you're going to find out, there's a God. You'll not get any further on that road of light unless you know God is. And the Bible said in Hebrews 11:6, he that, in other words, it said, for without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe He is. Must believe He is. You'll never come to God and that talking about and find out seeking Him down this road of life and meeting those encounters, if you please, coming to the straight gate. You'll never do it till you know God is. How are you going to know He is? He knows inside, longing. Hey, He put outside in creation. The Bible said in Romans 1:20, look out there, the creation. Sun comes up, sets. My, what a beautiful sunset. Look out there in the night. I saw the sun setting out there, and if it had all those clouds at some time, like a little kid said one time in the class, a teacher said, my, look at that beautiful sunset that God painted, that Jesus painted, I think she said. He said, yes, and He did it. Or God painted it. He said, yes, and He did it with His left hand. You say, how did He do it? What do you mean He did it with His left hand? Well, the Bible said Jesus is sitting on His right hand. Amen? I believe they'll remember that. That'll give me a breather. But listen, folks, the Bible said in Romans 1:20 that we look out in creation and know there is a God and can know. And we're without excuse. We've got light. Every man's got light. Somebody said, well, God just gives light to a certain few. No, no, the Bible says every man is taught of the Father. There's a light that lighteth up every man. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I'd rather take the Bible, what commentaries say. They'll do a lot of good. They'll tear up a lot. I mean, the Bible tear up a lot of commentaries. Amen. They'll do it. But the thing about it, he said, you're without excuse. You say, Psalms 19, 1 through 4 says, the day unto day utter speech, and the firmament that showeth the handiwork of God, day unto day utter speech, and night and night showeth knowledge, and there's no language nor speech where their language is not heard. That sounds like double talk, but it means there's no place on the face of God's earth, no matter what language they speak, whether it's Northern Yankee stuff or Louisiana Cajun, amen, or Urdu or whatnot, that understands that day is saying there's a God, night saying there's a God. Look up and see the star. I'll tell you, look at the creation of a little baby. Not long ago, they had a baby that was operated on, I think, at 21 weeks in the womb for spina bifida. Did y'all hear about that? I mean, operated on in the womb. And they had a picture where when that doctor was going inside that womb and operated on that little 21-week baby, old baby that they, a lot of people would have aborted and said there's no life there, that little hand come up out of that womb and grabbed around the doctor's finger. The creation says there's a God. Amen. There's a God. There's a God. And that's when you encounter somebody, just know that there's a God. You're blessed. Amen. That's the first encounter on the road to light you're going to have, just to find out God is, because you'll never get any further. And many people in our Baptist churches are sitting there, and if you'll be honest with yourself, you say, how do I know this is not just a bunch of junk? Been there, done that. Amen. Religion. Miss Diane, you did it a few times after you went through all that religion you was in. But yet that thought come, how do I know Brother Charles is right? How do I know Plumline Salvation's right? Oh, them devils. You know? But God is revealing Himself. You're going to have to know God is before you'll ever get any further. Have you ever had an encounter on the road of light with God Himself? I'm not talking about something where you eat, spaghetti and pizza and all that stuff tonight and wake up with heartburn in the morning, think you've met God. That's not what I'm talking about. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Now, a lot of people, some of their visions, it's nothing but pizza vision. Huh? It don't match the book. Amen. Listen, He is going to agree with this book, and any revelation that you've got outside of this book, not of God. Now, sometimes it's hard to tell, I understand, but you're going to... Have you ever had a time where you knew that God is? You say, how's that happen? I don't know exactly. I know there's a light, that there's a God. And if you may not even know to call it God, but if you'll step in light, God will reveal Himself to you. And the Bible, in essence, the Bible says you're blessed. If you're blessed just on the... If you've had the first encounter, it don't matter whether you're already... You're not saved here tonight. If you've had an encounter and you know God is, I want to tell you, you're blessed, and you've got a reason to shout tonight, because there's victory to be thankful. Amen? Just the fact is that that you've been blessed. That means spiritually prosperous. Even here, and yet you say, but man, I've known that for 15 years and I'm still not saved. Well, you're still blessed. And the Lord's faithful. Amen? Sad part about it, many Baptists tonight want to call that salvation just because they had some kind of encounter with God. They had an answered prayer. Now, that's the way God answers your prayers. You say, but God doesn't answer a lost man's prayer. Well, I've got news for you. He does. Got a witness there? Well, you say, but the Scripture said we know God heareth not sinners. Yeah, it also said that money's the answer to all things, too. Ecclesiastes, read your Bible. But you've got to get the context. The man who said that in John 9 wasn't saved, talking to a bunch of Pharisees who had taught him a bunch of tradition that had captured his mind. And he said, we know that God heareth not sinners. Why, you calling him a sinner? Jesus had healed him. By the way, the man wasn't even saved at that time. Just had physical sight. Jesus met him out there after they kicked him out of the synagogue. He met him out there and revealed himself to him. And boy, he embraced him. Well, I know that Bible said, but I've got another scripture that says Cornelius was a man, devout man, religious, and prayed and gave alms. He was better than most Baptists. Well, he gave alms, but one day an angel showed up. And God's angel said, go down and get Peter and come back and he'll tell you the way to get the life through the narrow gate. Now, I didn't say it in those words, but that's what he's talking about. You know what happened, Peter? Come back over. One of the first things that Cornelius said to him, the angel came to me the other night and told me thy prayers have been heard. Lost man praying. Folks, I want to tell you, I can remember a time when I thought, I'd been taught all my life, God didn't hear a sinner's prayer, except God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, I know I'm saved because I had that one prayer answered. I had prayed in such a way I didn't knew the devil couldn't do it. Nobody else knew about it. No preacher did. Nobody else was praying. And that's the only one I could have said that he answered for me. But you see, it let me know God is. He exists. Amen. Boy, I want to tell you what, you're blessed tonight. You're blessed tonight, and you can just rejoice in because He's going to carry you and where you'll encounter the day the Lord hath made. Amen? Just if you've got a praise, and sometimes the devil try to cloud it up and pull it away from you, go back and hang on to it, cling to it, because that's a beginning in the essence, the first encounter on the road of life. Now, the second encounter. Now, I don't know what second, no certain order. Amen? But let's just put it this way. You're going to have to encounter these in some order. And sometimes they may come two, three, and four together. Number one is God is. Number two, three, and four could just be all at one time, and it could be any order. All right? Number one, and I'm going to use second one. I'm going to talk about the Word of God. Where is it at? The Word of God. You're going to have to encounter the Word of God. Amen? You're going to have to encounter the Word of God. You take the old Philippian eunuch. There he was, an Ethiopian eunuch down in Ethiopia. Candace, he was a treasure to the house of the queen of Candace there. And he heard there's a God up in Israel, up in Judah, up in Jerusalem. He'd already some way encountered God is. And he said, oh, I want what he can do for me. I don't understand about him, but I want what he can do for me. So he, I don't know what it cost him. Don't know how much vacation time he had coming in the position he was in, probably enough. Amen. But he got his entourage or whatever that thing's called together and headed out to Jerusalem. And you know what? When he got up there, I believe he was disappointed. You know, he was a eunuch. Read Deuteronomy 24. He couldn't even enter in the house of God and worship. And I'll leave that alone. Y'all can read that if you want to know about it. Read it in Deuteronomy. Why he couldn't? Amen. But God, in His grace and goodness, let him get hold of the Word of God, a portion of the Word of God. Somebody said, boy, that's why I pass out tracts. Let me tell you something. Tracts will not get a man saved by itself. Even the Bible will not get a man saved by itself. You've got to have some more encounters. You're going to have to encounter it. Amen. As I said the other night, tracts, most of the tracts you've got, they got that little easy believism prayer on the back. It won't work. Amen. And leave out the power of God. We need, listen, without the power of God, you've got no salvation. What did he say in 1 Thessalonians 1:5? Our gospel came not in word only. This is word only, if that's all we've got. But in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. You've got to have the word, but it takes the power and the much assurance and the Holy Ghost to do that. Amen. Amen. Now, he got a copy of the best tract you could have. Isaiah 53, you can't beat that. It's talking about the personified Lamb. Amen. The Lamb of God, and he's coming across that desert. But you see, as he's coming across that desert, he was a reading. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. It's talking about spiritual healing. That's not physical healing. Well, I will tell you, a lot of people jump up and down over spiritual healing, not physical healing. God can heal. He's the healer. It's not man. But folks, I won't tell you, he didn't leave glory to heal physically. He could have healed men, made blind men see, dumb men speak, deaf men hear, and the lame to walk, and never left glory. He could have healed cancer and the lepers and all that, and never left glory. But he had to leave glory, die on the cross on the day the Lord had made, that we might be healed spiritually. Amen? Just thought I'd throw that in, didn't charge you a thing for it. Amen? Amen? Now, where was I? We was out in the middle of Gaza, down there in that desert, and he was a reading. He'd already had an encounter with God, or he ever would have went up there looking for something. He's hungry. He's longing. He knew there's got to be more to it than what I've been experiencing down in Ethiopia. Oh, God's working in Jerusalem. I'm going to go. I'm going to go where I've got to go. I'm going to do what I've got to do. I mean, if I have to stay off work, I'll do it. Amen. We got a family that just moved here from England. Been searching for God for 12 years. Sold their house. Left his job. Husband and wife, both of them lost. Talked to him this morning. Huh, she's wanting to know what's happening. Down here. Lost? You say, yeah, lost. Say, lost men don't do it. Oh, yes, they do if they're seeking God. She traveled all the way across that ocean in her airplane. Amen. She didn't come across on foot, all right? But she sought God. Y'all got to, you'll get it that while. Catch up with me. Looking for God. So did the eunuch. Well, he found something. Well, it doesn't seem like a whole lot. Dejected, sad-hearted, going back home, nothing's happened. All I got's a little old parchment. that's bothering me even more. It's causing that longing to be stirred, and I don't understand it. But God was getting him ready for the second encounter, third encounter. And they see the Word of God, you go encounter. Like I say, these can come all in different orders, but the third encounter I want to talk about is the human instrumentality. Philip up in a revival up in Samaria. Man, they're being saved right and left. And boy, everybody said, go where you can get the most saved. No, you need to go where it pleases the Lord. Amen. You need to be where God wants you. You're better off. Listen, he called Isaiah. And Isaiah, whenever he told Isaiah, said, listen. And by the way, Isaiah volunteered, did he not? You hear my Lord, send me. And then he said, how long, Lord? He said, till the last city be wasted and without inhabitant. Now, what's that equivalent to today? Till the last pew be empty, you stay with it till God says move. I'm talking to myself too. Boy, I know, it's not good when those pews get empty, amen. I mean, you want them full, don't you? But I don't tell you, you need to be where God wants, because if just one is worth the whole world. Amen. So he said, Philip, yes, sir. I want you to leave this place, yes, sir. I know that's not in the Bible. If it is, it's in the Greek. But it's, he left, didn't he not? Went down to a place, I'll show you, got out there in the middle of the desert and just happened to meet up with the eunuch. You believe that? No, it wasn't no just happened to stance. I mean, it was a divine appointment right there, amen? And he walked up and he listened as he read some more about a sheep going to the slaughter and all that of Isaiah 53. And Philip ran up to the chariot. Now, it's amazing that he even got to the chariot with all of his guards around. You think about it a minute. See, there was a lot of robbers in those days. Why? How in the world did a man get up to his chariot? God opened up the way for him. Why, those guys guarding the chariot might not have even seen him. Amen. I don't know, but he got up to the chariot and he heard him and he said, hey, Mr. Fellow, whoever you are, you understand what you read. And this eunuch said something that's really scriptural. Amen. How can I unless some man guide me? I've got to have a human instrumentality across your path. Amen. I don't know who it's going to be or what. Maybe more than one, but it's going to be a human instrument, because the Bible said in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not just Savior, but Lord, shall be saved. Folks, that word, by the way, call, means to call when you know you've got a need, and you don't know that till God shows you've got a need. That's why 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen? You don't know you've got a need. Oh, you can say it with the head, but you can't say it with the heart and mean it with the heart till the Holy Ghost does the work in you. Amen? And that's the next encounter we're going to get to. Amen? But there's got to be a human instrumentality, because it says, whoever called on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he asked then a question in verse 14. Romans 10, how can they call on him in whom they've not believed? How can they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? Got to have a human instrumentality to cross your path. Amen. How beautiful are the feet of them that brought the gospel of peace to us. Amen. Somebody crossed your path. Might have been an old grandma, saintly grandma, that preached to you. I'm not talking about a God-called preacher necessarily. But I don't tell you what, you'll hear the Word of God preached, amen. And a grandma in that kind is a scriptural preacher, amen. Now, I don't believe she ought to get up here. Now, you may disagree with me, but I'm talking about the Bible said that the woman's not to teach, usurp authority over the man. Better watch that, hadn't I? I'm just telling you what the book says. I'd rather stay with the book and what commentary or tradition says, amen. And the thing about it is, though, that he said, how are they going to hear without a preacher? Going to have some human instrumentality encounter on that road of light. You recognize this is God, the seed may come, and then there's going to be a human instrument. I've got some more verses for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. They were all excited over Paul. Some of them were at Corinth, some of them over Apollos, and some of them Peter, and some of them even over Jesus. You know, well, I think probably their excitement over Jesus, the way it was, they just said, I'm over Jesus, not Paul and the others. Well, at any rate, Paul got over there one day and he said, who is Paul? Who am I? I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. Who is Apollos? Then he said, but ministers by whom ye believed, whom God sent that you might believe in their salvation. He said, that's all we are, just ministers of God sent as a human instrumentality on that road of light. And then he goes on to say, he said, unto whom he's called, and he's given to every man that believeth. Well, he stopped all that. It wasn't just them. It's us. We've got to have some human instrumentality. Amen. In fact, Jesus prayed in his great intercessory prayer in John 17:20, as he's on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, neither pray I for these alone, these 11 that's around me, but for all them which shall believe on me through their word. They wrote it down. Amen. They passed it on to faithful men, and they wrote it down. We're still believing because of Peter, John, and James, and Jude, if you please, and also Paul, who was passed on to, amen, we're still believing because, and yet it's passed on to Brother Charles, and Brother Charles came by my way, amen, amen. Human instrumentality, what we're talking about, encounters on the road of light. A lot of people say, man, I've had all that, and I must be saved. Well, I want to tell you what, you're going to have another encounter. Like I say, now I've done told you about God, about this Word, about the human instrumentality. Like I say, these second, third, and fourth can all be right together or out of order as far as we are concerned. I don't know who comes first and all together, and don't really matter. In fact, this one's really working even before you know God is. He is. I mean, you know, but you don't know it. You know what? You say, what's that? The Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I don't like that word. I thought it's Holy Spirit. Did you know the King James Bible says Holy Spirit 3 times and Holy Ghost 93 times? Nothing wrong with saying Holy Ghost. Amen. It's just the same word. I don't know why I didn't translate it all the same. I mean, it's the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. It don't matter. But He's the one that God, the Lord, sent. Did He not say in John? And by the way, what he does when He comes, it's what's called, by the way, we call it Holy Ghost conviction. Y'all fellas call it that. Got to have it. Amen. You hadn't got it, you ain't got it. Amen. Did y'all get that? If you ain't got it, you ain't got it. And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit being a yet. He's a person. But I'm talking about if you've never encountered the Holy Ghost. Brother Charles said one time he was dealing with this woman, and boy, I mean, looked like she was really going to get saved. And all at once she said, I hope y'all don't mind. I ain't heard a word you say. My dog got run over this morning. Huh? Happened, but I got close to right. Amen. I mean, you'd be surprised how many people have bled red so-called into the kingdom of God because there's a crying over mom and daddy over some kind of problem, and all the time there's a crying on that. The preacher's trying to tell them the so-called plan of salvation, the 1, 2, 3, repeat after me stuff, and as a result, they never heard a word. They just said what the preacher said, did what the preacher said, but there was no work of God done in their heart. Amen, preachers. I mean, nothing done inside, and no wonder we got such a mess in our churches. Our ministry's not to prop up, amen. Our ministry's not to pat on the back and go try to get people back in church, amen. You see, I won't tell you what. You know what? Some people, you know, they make those professions, they're stony ground here, and a little persecution come around. They run off and hide, and you can't find a tow truck and a log chain and the FBI and get them, find them, and bring them back into the house of God. What's wrong? They never had a completed work of the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, you can have an encounter with the Holy Ghost and have a beginning. Some well-meaning preacher can short-circuit that work and cause you to believe in something that's not real. Well, that's all there is to it. All you got to do is say these little words, say this prayer, repeat after me. I wish it was that easy. Jesus didn't say that to the rich young ruler, did he? Why, that rich young ruler said, what shall I do to be saved? Right question to the right man. And Jesus said, after he talked to him a little bit, listen, he wasn't going to be saved by keeping the law, even though he told him, said, keep these commandments. He was dealing, fixing to get down where the rubber meets the road. And he said, why, these I've done from my youth. Well, he hadn't, but Jesus didn't even rebuke him for that. He'd broken those commandments as well as the others. But his real problem was he had another God before him, money, material things. And Jesus said, go sell that you've got and give to the poor. Oh, I can't do that. And he turned and walked away. Now, you know what most preachers, somebody was to walk away from them and they was trying to win them to the Lord, pull them out or whatever they call it. They'd soften the message. They said, come on, let me. I heard about a man one time said, well, what? He got them down and just got to praying to dedicate their house and got to praying to get them to pray the sinner's prayer and that and got them to cry and he read them in. Folks, that's not salvation. Amen. No encounter with the Holy Ghost, and it's not enough just to encounter Him. You've got to have a completed work. Called Holy Ghost conviction, godly sorrow. It's also called the work of reproval. John 16:8, the word reprove. He said, Jesus said, I'm fixing to leave out. I'm going to send you another comforter. Comforter means the one alongside the aid. It's not like what you put on your bed at night. Amen. It's one alongside the eight, and he says another. It's a word from the Greek word which means another of the same kind. Amen? In other words, it's allos, another of the same kind of comforter that I've been to you. And he's talking about the Holy Ghost of God and said, when He, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, is come, He will reprove you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Three things. Folks, before you ever get through that straitgate, you're going to have a completed encounter of Holy Ghost conviction of the work of reproval in three areas of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Or you'll never go through that gate. Now, let's break that down. What does it mean to reprove? Well, you look up the word, and there's five times in King James Bible that Greek word's translated five different ways. If you had defined the five words, you've got really a full meaning of what it means. The word reprove itself means to lay blame on with the purpose of correcting it. Now, I know a lot of kids have laid blame on their brothers or sisters. I won't use Brian and Brad, but I wouldn't dare use y'all tonight. I wouldn't do that. Don't you move over on me. You got a brother. Now don't you answer. You're truthful. You're in the house of God now. I want to hear. Have you got a brother? Did you always do what was right? Y'all get this on tape. Then. I could go back there to those two. You'd rather me to do it, hadn't you? But you have a brother.
Yes.
Okay. When you grew up, hey, is he older or younger?
A lot older.
Oh, a lot older. All right. But, huh?
I
think it makes it better. I got a better illustration. Listen. All right. When you all was out there and he'd come along and do something, and you'd go running in the house tattletaling. Now, you don't tell me you didn't do that because you did that. Amen. You laid blame on your bigger brother and said, Mama, he done this. He done that. And you was laying blame on him, but not to get it corrected. You wouldn't see him get in trouble and you go free. Yeah, am I right? Come on, let's go to the altar. He's a lie, brother. That's right. But the Lord, when He comes, even though it's awful. I mean, Holy Ghost conviction's not fun. Have you experienced it?
Yeah.
So I don't have no problem. I won't tell you what, you've never had Holy Ghost conviction. Because, I mean, when He lays blame on you, it's for a purpose to get it corrected.
Right.
Get it corrected. He also, the word is translated rebuke in 1 Timothy chapter 5. The word rebuke means to lay blame on or to reprove sharply and sternly with authority. Is that not right? That's the English word, right? Okay, now, you get the picture. That word, since it says reprove sharply and sternly with authority, I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost has authority. Amen? And He comes, He'll lay it on you sharply and sternly. Now, you when you lay blame on your brother, you were just wanting to get him in trouble and get you out. But when God comes to lay blame on you, He doesn't come and say, bless your little heart. You did so good. You're not too bad. You need to be saved. That's not the kind of reproval and rebuking we're talking about. He get home. Bless God, I don't tell you what, you low-down, dirty, rotten scoundrel. Well, I'm just trying to give an outward illustration, and I'm not trying to hurt this poor fella. I mean, you know. But you know He's had hold of you. Am I right?
That's right.
And He's got a hold of you, and He does it because He loves you. He wants to get it corrected. Amen? That's what this word... That's the encounter of the whole... Have you ever had been shaken? What did He say? In the Old Testament words, is that word move? I said last night in Genesis 1-2, He moved upon your darkness. Same word is over in Jeremiah where He talked about the bone shake. Boy, shake. Oh, have you ever had your bone shake and not really know what's wrong as God gets on you? And then another word over in where is that? Deuteronomy. Talks about the eagle fluttering on that nest, getting that little eaglet out, to get him out in the world. Goes a wind blowing. And you wonder what's happening. The wind blowing on you, the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of you, bones shaking. And don't tell me you don't know where that's at. If you've ever experienced it, if you hadn't ever experienced it, you've never had an encounter of the Holy Ghost of God. You just may have turned to the road of life. He may have started something, but it may have got short-circuited because you didn't want to suffer that much. You like a lot of women getting ready to go have that baby, wish that they wasn't expecting so they wouldn't have to go through that labor, but oh, it's too late now. You may back up, but I want to tell you, he'll work on you if you'll just give him a little opportunity. He'll rebuke you. And that word also is translated in Matthew 18 to tell a fault, which means to give witness to. In other words, you look over and you see somebody else that's going through the same problems you are, the same conditions you are, and they're handling it. Doesn't mean that they're not hurting, but they say, hey, this is real in them. It's a witness to you. Well, that's what we need is some people who are the light to the world, reflecting Jesus to a lost and dying world, who can handle some rough times. That don't mean you don't cry. I don't mean you don't pray. I don't mean you don't hurt. It just simply means that I know God is in control. He's going to carry me through. Amen. He's brought me through before. He'll do it again, Brother John. Amen. That's what God uses when he lays that blame on. He said, look over yonder at so-and-so. You don't have what they've got. In essence, he could say, you don't have who they have. Amen? And he give evidence. Something's real. Now, what happens is the devil make you look at all the rest of them. Why, look at all them church members. They're no better now. They do the same things. That's true. Hey, listen, but there's somebody that's different. Sight your sights on them. There will be few of the few. And by the way, few there be that find the narrow way, he said, that even leads to the straight gate. And he said, strive to enter in the straight gate, for many are going to seek. That means even the few who entered the narrow way are not going to make it in. He said they didn't enter. In other words, because they didn't seek, they didn't have too many obstacles they encountered on the narrow way. So you're going to encounter the Holy Ghost, but there's going to be obstacles on that narrow way. And I guess you put that the next point, and I don't know how we're going to subpoint all this thing. I'd be like Brother Curtis McCauley. When we get done, you write it down. I want to preach the rest of this Sunday at church. Amen. But the thing about it, you're going to meet some obstacles along the way. Amen. But you're going to have to meet the Holy Ghost, and he starts laying back. Another word, he thought I'd lost where I was at, didn't you? I about did. Another word is that's translated convince in Titus chapter 1. As reprove. Reprove, rebuke, tell a fault, convince. The word convince means to persuade by argument using the evidence at hand. You say, you mean the Holy Ghost argues with me? Why? Why does it? Because you argue with him. Why? They told Miss Diane, the Holy Ghost trying to tell Miss Diane she's lost. She said, I'm not. Only it's probably worse than that. Else it might have been inside, but it's still, well, you know what I'm saying? You argue with him, but thank God he loves you enough to keep wrestling with you and telling you again and again and again, and he keeps pointing you to the evidence over yonder. It's not everybody. It's not every preacher. I've got news for you. Many preachers going to stand there one day and be cast in the lake of fire. Because they've never had an encounter with the Holy Ghost of God. I'm talking about completed encounter. It's going to have to be completed of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then the fifth word on that word, reprove, means to convict, which means to prove guilty. Oh, when the gavel of God's judge comes down and says, guilty, lost, come down without hope, without God. No, I want to tell you, that's God's work. Amen? Yeah. Now, that's all. That doesn't happen just in the 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, does it? Now, I'm not saying it takes a long time. I don't know how long it takes. It takes long enough for it to be complete. Depends on how much you argue. Amen? Now, I want to tell you what, all of us argue a whole lot more than we think we do. Because we've got Adam's nature, and Adam's nature is to rebel and sin against God. Adam's, we're in unbelief, and that same word unbelief is really disobedience, and really akin to the word rebellion, which is equal to the word witchcraft. Think about it. I'm talking about kin. All right? I mean, it's there. Woo! I ain't that bad. I got news for you. You're a lot worse than that. Listen. It's just only grace that any of us have got where we're at today. I'm talking about even if you're not saved, it's only grace that brought you this far. It's some mom or daddy somewhere that taught you a little morals and put some blinders on you and helped some strings on you. And you boys ought to be proud for mom and daddy makes you set with them at church. Amen. I know you may not want to hear that, but I tell you what, thank God for that, Brother John. I don't tell you, it's the only hope they got is to keep blinders on them and keep them reins on them. Amen. You get an old mule out in the pasture, out of the pasture that hadn't been trained well, you better keep two plow lines on that booger. Right. Amen? Huh? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but if you don't, he'll run off with you, and then if you're not careful, he'll still run off with you. That's what trace chains are for, not just to pull a plow, but to beat the devil out of him. Huh? Why, I proud of mule the two, Brother Tom, and I wasn't very big, but I whooped them with a trace chain if they didn't do right. You say, boy, the animal rights exactly whatever them guys are get you. Well, let's let them get. Amen. Wasn't long ago Sam began to tune up and just plow right, Brother Fred. Amen. You've been there. You've done that. Get his attention. I'm not telling beat your kids with a trace chain, but beat them with something if they need it, amen, to get them under control. Y'all get me right in a minute, amen. Oh, boys, you love me now, won't you? But it's been there, done that. Amen, Brother Brad. Amen, Brother John. Hang in there. I'm proud of you. Listen, one of these days you'll hug his neck and say, I thank you for it. Amen. 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 And I want to tell you what, those who don't, they'll probably disrespect you for it. Amen. One of these days. I'm not talking about abusing. I'm not talking about doing it wrongly. How'd I get off on that? I'm talking about conviction. Still true, isn't it, Miss Carolyn? Amen. Conviction. I'm talking about Holy Ghost conviction of encounter with the Holy Ghost as He brings you to a subtle persuasion of convincing you that you don't have God. You're in need of Him. You need the Savior. You need righteousness. His righteousness. Him. And you're guilty before a Holy God. Now, I can't explain all that, but in that, as He begins that work, He's going to give you some understanding about that. I'm talking about still this encounter. When the Holy Ghost comes inside, He's going to give you some understanding about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, I'm not talking about understanding all the Word, but did not the parable of the sower, the seed, or the soil, whichever way you'd want to call that, in Matthew 13, you read it and studied how they sowed by the wayside on stony ground and thorny ground and on good ground? But only seed that was really what we would call saved is on the good ground. Those on the wayside had no understanding, the Bible said. They understandeth not, but those on the good ground understandeth. When? Before they ever became good ground. Before they ever saved. There's got to be some understanding. And yet, you know what most Baptists try to teach? I know because they told me. God doesn't show a lost man anything. I've tried to show some of God showing me this. Oh, God doesn't show a lost man anything. Well, how are you going to know you're lost if He doesn't show you something? Huh? I'm telling you, He's going to give you some understanding about sin, righteousness, and judgment. When he plants that seed, see, it makes that seed sharp, that word sharp down in you. And He starts plowing that soil with a plowshare of the Word of God, some old preacher. Now, I'm not talking about just hellfire and brimstone, folks. I want to tell you, I know we need to understand about hell, but a lot of preachers, that's all they've got, hellfire and brimstone. Amen? And they people say, I want to go to hell. God don't save you to keep you out of hell. He saves you for His glory. And a lot of people have been scared in making a profession because they've heard about the judgment part. And that's judgment. That is the final judgment out yonder. But I want to tell you what, that's not all there is in Holy Ghost conviction. There's going to be some understanding about hell, yes. But there's going to be some understanding about sin. Now, and you're going to have... And by the way, understanding means to put together like a puzzle. But you know what? It's hard to do. How many times have you thought you had some understanding about something as a seeker, let's call it, on the road of right? And you went home, and you said, what did that preacher say? You've done for God. Stolen. The devil steals that seed. Oh, so many times. So many times. Well, I can't even remember what I preached last night sometimes. I had to ask him the other day. My wife asked me yesterday morning what I preached, and I had to go back and get my notes to see what I preached. I'll be in trouble tomorrow. But what I'm saying, I forget. Don't have Alzheimer's, got sometimes, right? But the thing about it is, you see, you realize something. He's got to give you understanding. He's got to put together. But the devil wants to steal it because he knows the value of that seed. But I'm going to tell you what, God's good to you to come and give it to you again. There's not a one of us in here who got it the first time. Did you? You may have thought you did, but if you go back, you probably find out you heard it years before and you didn't get it. Well, I know one time up home we had a lady saved, and after Brother Charles was there at that first meeting, and of course the former pastor had been there 21 years, and she went over and told the pastor's wife, she said, that's the first time I ever heard that. Ooh, that was rough. And she spoke up, and she said, why? Called him by name, and said, he preached that all those years. What she didn't understand was, she hadn't heard it. That doesn't bother me. I prayed somebody here tonight to hear something for the first time. You say, well, I already know it. You don't know it all. I don't know it all. Amen. We don't know it all. If you're not saved, you don't know it all. And God is, if you knew it all, you'd be saved. Amen. But God's given you some seed, and they own the good ground of those who understand it. Luke says they were good and honest heart, honest and a good heart. You know, the problem is it's hard to get honest with yourself. What God showed you. And the devil, he's a liar. He'd come in and say, lie to you about Seth. He'd say, you're okay, it's all right. No, you, listen, if God's moving in that empty vacuum inside, that's God's goodness to let you know you need Him. Need it to be filled with a God-shaped, with a God who feels that God-shaped vacuum. Amen. I don't know what shape God is, but He'll fill it. Amen. Mm. So He gives you understanding about sin, about righteousness. Enough. I'm not talking about Tobiah, but enough. You say, but they, by the way, they kept the seed. They guarded. That means kept. They guarded. They fortified the seed to keep the devil from stealing it. Oh, how many times has he stole it before you went away? But you didn't write it down. You write it down, rehearse that, go over it, hide it in the pantry of your heart. You remember how Grandma used to put our pantry? I mean, she'd take that pantry and she'd put all of her beans up here on one shelf. Grandma still does that, don't she? And then, having put it on another shelf, she'd put her apples over here that's canned. Amen? And then she'd put all the other things over here. I mean, now there's no, most people don't know what a pantry is. All they've got is Watt biscuits. Huh? Amen. Well, but the thing about it, they'd put that all together. And somebody said, well, you took inventory lately? Well, they could go in there and tell you, I've got enough next year because I got 25 cans of this and 25 cans of that or 40 cans of that. And they knew right where it's at. They could lay their hand on it. See, when God gives you a piece of that puzzle, you've got to keep it. You've got to guard it. It may not be the whole picture yet. You ever put a puzzle together, one of them 500-piece jobs? Every piece looked like the same way. And they all look like they fit. I mean, the only difference is the green, the blue, and the red, if they got a barn on it or something, you know? And you get those things. You ever got frustrated trying to put them pieces of puzzle together? I don't put them together no more. Huh? Right? Have you ever got frustrated trying to put the puzzles together as God's working in your life and Holy Ghost conviction? Frustrated. What do you want to do? Well, I've seen some pick up that puzzle and say, the devil with it and throw it away. If you got little babies around the house, you better got it. Them little babies have chewed up and be gone. You'd never see the entire picture. Now, I'm talking about a literal puzzle. You understand? I don't tell you what, the devil will steal everything he can. You're going to have to guard those puzzles. And you're going to have to keep it. And even though you get frustrated, that's God's encounter with the Holy Ghost and His goodness to you and forbearance, holding back that wrath, giving you a space of repentance, wanting to bring you to the straight gate where you can have life and live. Amen? All because of an encounter with Him. Amen? Oh, He's good to us today. His goodness leadeth us to repentance. Even though it don't seem good at the time, all things work together for good. Amen? And so you have that encounter, and so He gives you some understanding. He gives you some understanding about judgment, as we've already talked about. And I know I take them out of order because I already dealt with that. That's the end product. It's hell, but that's not the all of it. And then He gives you understanding about sin. You say, I don't have no problem with that. I'm a sinner. Yeah, but what are you talking about your sin? Well, somebody said, I lie, steal, cheat, and drink, and carouse around. Well, you might not want to admit that, but that's five of them out of 726, according to theologians, that's in the Bible. Now, I don't know that they're all there, all right? But they say there's 726 sins. How are you going to ever get around to dealing with all of them? I'm talking about individually. The time you got around to them, you'd have 726 more. Have a repetition, amen? If you're trying to deal, that's the fruit of the root. John 16:9 says of sin because they believe not on me. That means you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord. And the reason you have a problem is what many people do in professions and rededications, they're just pulling the fruit off the tree. And they go out there and they strip that tree of that fruit like you could take a peach tree and pull all the fruit off of it. And if all the conditions may look like it's dead and it's gone, it's not going to live ever again. That's winter. But next spring, when the conditions get just right, water is going to come up through those roots of that peach tree and out's going to come some big old luscious peaches. You pick off the fruit and repent of drinking and lying and stealing. Well, I got that settled. I got the cobwebs out of my life. But you know what happens now? When the conditions get just right, there's going to be more fruit pop out on there. And most of us preachers, all we are is slapping the fruit when we ought to be trying to cut the root. And I can't cut it, but the Holy Ghost can. I mean, you got to get down to the root, and the root problem's unbelief. Oh, but I believe you believed about and not on. The little word on means to come to a point, place, and a time with a purpose, and you can't do that unless you've had an encounter of the Holy Ghost, and He's brought you to a point, place, and a time with a purpose, and completed that work in you. Amen? And then when He gets down, and you say, well, I believed about Jesus, believed on Jesus all my life. You use those words, but what you did, you believed a bunch of facts. You didn't believe on Jesus. You never trusted Him as your Lord. Because you see, part of that other He gives you understanding about in that encounter is righteousness. Oh, I've got that. I dress right, walk right, and spit right. I walk right and spit right. Now, if y'all don't know what that means, back then, I mean, you know that. I didn't mean to do that. Well, I did too, didn't I? But some people think that's all there is to it. Amen? Well, I've quit this, and I've quit that, and I've quit that. You can quit everything you know to quit, but I'm going to tell you what, you're still going to have a nagging doubt on the inside. Amen? You can just embrace the word only, and a bunch of facts won't get the job done. You need righteousness. Now, folks, I know we talk about self-righteousness, and you need some righteousness on the outside because of what Jesus does on the inside after you're saved. But you clean up the outside. That's not even, you may be a better neighbor to live with, but He's going to say one day, they'll say, Lord, Lord, we've done all these things. We give up all these things for You. And they did as much as they knew how. And He says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, how sad that'll be that day. Oh, yes, the Holy Ghost had an encounter, but it wasn't complete in all three areas. They never dealt with the sin of unbelief. They never come to the end of themselves. They never saw righteousness they needed. You know what righteousness is? It's not just what, it's a who. It's Him. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, God hath made Him unto us righteousness. What did Paul say about the people in Romans 10? He says, I can't quote it word for word, but he said, the people, he was so concerned over his own people, but he said, they go about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That word submit means to come under the authority of the righteousness of God. Well, you say, what is righteousness? It's not what, it's who. It's the Christ that they wouldn't accept. They wouldn't submit to Him, and therefore they're lost and without hope, Paul said. And so are you, if you've never submitted to the righteousness of God, who's Jesus. But not a problem in most of our churches. Are you listening to me? You may have had an encounter with the Holy Ghost, but it wasn't complete because you've never really had the righteousness of God revealed to you. Or you may have had a bunch of facts about who Jesus is and what He did for you on the cross. Sure, He took my whipping. Oh, the Garden of Gethsemane, He faced my sins there as He had the cup that He... Didn't he? He looked at it and said, oh, he saw my sin and said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass away. But he knew it wasn't possible. And he said, I'm willing to die on the cross. He took my whipping as 351 stripes was laid upon His back. If they used cat of nine tails and 39 stripes, I don't know how many they used. It's Roman. I mean, according to tradition, they literally stripped all the meat from our Lord's back that day. Tore all the muscle from the backbone. Oh, many times people died at the whipping post. Jesus didn't. He wasn't to die there. He took that whipping for me, crowned Him with a crown of thorns, pushed it down upon His head, and blood ran profusely. The Bible said His visage was so marred in Isaiah 52, you couldn't have told He's human. You ever seen a dog run over on the road, and then about two or three more trucks hit that dog, and it splattered, and you see it, and you say, is that a possum, a dog, or... a possum on a half shell. Amen. Y'all have them down here, don't you? Possum on half shells. Armadillos. I don't have them up home. But you look at it, it's so smashed. You don't know. Its visage is so marked. When Jesus hung on that cross, His visage so marked, you couldn't have told He was human. Stripped to the knee, nailed with three old spikes or something. Every bone pulled out of joint as it went down in there. And oh, what pain and what agony He had. You know who He did that for? He did that for you, brother. Oh, He did that for you. He did that for me. He did it for every person in this room. Don't let the devil tell you He didn't do it for you. He did it for you, amen. Oh, He did, but I won't tell you. We look at all that. You know what He did when he after He did that? He looked down and he saw us. Even though we may not have been there in a little figure, we studied it last night. We were there when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Oh, what love he had as he reached down to us. But folks, all that was physical. It was nothing to the moment that God... Now, some people say God turned his back upon his only son, but Isaiah said he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Amen. Now, it became dark because he took our place. No longer did he cry, Father. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Listen, God just allowed him, a man who knew no sin, to take my place. And there he experienced by a miracle of God I don't understand and can't explain, but he experienced my eternity in hell while hanging on that cross. I thirst, he cried, the same thirst the rich man had in hell. And then he said to Telestai, it is finished! Hallelujah. Victory! The day the Lord hath made. Amen. He did that for me. Now that's what he did. Now folks, a lot, now you're listening to me? A lot of us Baptists have made profession over the years on that. We say we know that. You've had the facts. You've had the word only. And you have embraced the words and the facts, and it bothered you that he had to suffer like that. But really, Jesus has never been revealed to you. Somebody said, well, you go to hell for rejecting Jesus. Listen to me. You go to hell for rejecting light. Whomever man has. That's why the heathen in Africa that's never one time heard the gospel, if he reaches a knowledge of accountability, he'll split hell wide open. Because he's got light in creation that there's a God. And God's so good to him, if he'll step in light that there's a God, God will let him have another encounter with somebody, a human instrument. If he has to wreck an airplane, send him down with the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit can go over there anywhere and save that individual. Amen? But many have never had Jesus revealed to them as the righteousness of God. Say, what do you mean? He's hidden in the bosom of the Father. Hidden in the bosom of the Father. And the only way you'll ever see him is for the Holy Ghost to complete that work of righteousness and reveal to you Jesus. Folks, I don't believe in it. Now, you listen to what I'm saying. I don't believe anybody ever reject or reveal Christ. I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost reveals him. Because he's not going to reveal him to you if you're not ready. I know the terminology is close, but I don't believe he'll ever reveal himself to you until he's brought you to the place. See, you're going to encounter an invitation somewhere. But you know what? When he calls you, you know what you're going to do? You're going to come. What did Isaiah do? Probably the best man of his day, but when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, woe is me. I'm a man of undone, unclean lips. Probably the best man of his day, but he said, I'm a nobody. Folks, I want to tell you, you'll fall at his feet as dead man. And you'll trust him. Because I believe that because the Holy Ghost has given an encounter and made an encounter so that you can respond to his invitation. But I don't believe the invitation will come till you get to that point. Amen? I don't believe that. You say, what do you mean? Well, let me give you an illustration. I remember when I got married. Some of you said, oh me, I wish to have... let me go home. I'm glad I did. Amen? But I remember when I got married. Now, when we courted, of course, after I met my wife, I knew within a little while she's going to be my wife. She didn't know it, but I knew it. Amen. But anyway, I remember one day she come over there and she was trying to act hard to get, I guess, you know. And she said, anyway, we'd always meet in college at a certain place, you know. And she walked in that day and I was going to have to go home and scoop corn and out of the wagon, and they had a corn picker, two-row corn picker, and I was going to have to pick corn and put it in the shed. They was picking it, and I was having to shovel it in the elevator and put it in the shed in the corn crib. Somebody don't know what that is. Amen. That's all right. But anyway, I remember I was going to go, had to go home early. So she met me that morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. We had a class in the same building where she worked. She met me, and I remember walking around that corner, Brother Charles. She said, it wasn't about 2 weeks after we met. She said, I think we're getting too serious. Oh, like a stab in my heart. I done knew she's the one. Amen? And I said, you know what I did? Played it right, son. I looked at her and I said, who's getting serious? Dying. Woo! Man, I went home and never scooped. I saw Lucy. Lucy. Man, I never get to see her again. My heart was torn, man. what am I going to do? All day Saturday, all Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, Sunday, just as quick as I could get back over Sunday. First thing I did, I got in the house where I live. I went to the telephone and dialed up her room. She come to the phone. I asked her out that night. She said, yes. See, what happened later, we never talked about that for a while. But later on, she thought I was a stuck-up something to think, who's getting serious? But see, what had happened, she'd seen too many movies where they played hard to get. And she liked to play too hard to get. She thought she'd done messed up. And I thought I'd done messed up. But hallelujah, we got together. Amen. Now, let me tell you something else. I was going to tell you about that. It's just a starter. But I remember the day we talked about things. And we may have talked about, and I may have thought, and she may have thought about me. Wonder if that rascal will treat me right. Wonder if that rascal will feed me and my kids if we have any. Those thoughts ought to come. I mean, you ought to think about those. Count the cost. Amen. Now, most time they don't. Amen. Anyway, she may have thought all those things. I don't know that she did. I'm just using to give an illustration, all right? But you know what? She came to a conclusion through all that, that I believe that she was willing to forsake all others for me. Now, I remember the time she turned the corner with her daddy. And she was trying to get her daddy to sort of stop just a minute to take a picture, and he just whirled on around the corner. He didn't have one thing in mind, getting rid of his daughter, I think. But anyway, I remember coming down, and man, I was all smiles. Now, let's just suppose, this did not happen, but let's just suppose that as she turned that corner, and every step she took, she was thinking, and I could read her mind, wonder if he'll take care of me. Wonder if he'll be good to my children, if we have any. Wonder if he'll be good to me. Wonder if... I don't know for sure whether I want to spend every night with him. I still like old Bob and Bill a little bit. I believe I'll go out Thursday night and Friday night with Bob and Bill. So they walked down to the front, and the preacher said, will you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? And I know how she's thought coming down that aisle. What do you think I'm going to say if I got any sense? Just wait until she gets her mind made up that she wants me for who I am, not just for what I can do for her. And me alone, and nobody else. Now, that didn't happen, all right? But I think it's a good illustration. A lot of people run to the altar, and their mind's not made up. I want Jesus. In fact, they don't even really know who really Jesus is. They know about him. They've got revelation, but not a reality. Amen? And they come, and they embrace a set of facts. And they've never had an invitation, because he's not going to give it to you until... He knows, and by the way, he knows what you're thinking as you come down that aisle in a sense, you understand? He knows. Now, you could be thinking that coming down the aisle and it changed right there, I understand that. But he knows when it's complete, and then he'll say, come. Wilt thou, and you wilt. Amen? Encounter with the Holy Ghost. Because see, when you have an encounter with the Holy Ghost, and by the way, all the time this is working, you're still in that miry pit of sin. And all the time this is working, there's obstacles coming that you're going to have to deal with. I call them side roads on the road of life. In other words, you make choices and decisions along the way. You say, what do you mean? Flesh sees something over there it likes and wonders out of the path of understanding sometimes. And sits down and just says, well, what's the use? Nobody cares. And you understand what I'm saying? There's obstacles. Not only that, the world's got attractions out yonder that pull you over. I understand that, and the Lord does too. And the devil said, boy, you've done messed up now. I've got news for you. When you wander out just ignorantly, if you please, or nonchalantly, God's grace still reaches you. And still, how many times did we all wander out? All wandered out. And we come back. Main thing is just don't call it rededication. Call it what you need. I need to be saved. I'm lost. I'm undone. I'm separated. But there are obstacles. The devil, oh, he's a pulling on you. Undertow of this world, sucking you out in that world to overcome you with everything. Amen. The thorns of that he talked about in the seed, and one of those things, four thorns, the cares of this world, things you've got to do, the job you've got to go to, diapers to change, dishes to wash, same diapers to change, well, the same baby to change diapers on tomorrow, and the same dishes to wash, amen, and that husband, same old clothes to wash, routine day in and day, things you've got to do can cause you to be sit down and say, I'm tired. I just don't want to contend with it. And you'll remain right there. You won't progress anymore until God's goodness gets your attention. And he woos you back into that path. And he draws you with cords of love. You know how he loves you? Through people. Oh, you know what we need is some people love some people. Amen. Oh, preacher, I'm going to tell you, if I'd let them, all the way to let them treat me during those days, I'd say the devil, the whole works. You too. Those days we went through sometimes. Brother Charles knows probably more about it than I do, about how they treated him. They told him. Some of them told me, you know. One of them wrote and said, you got a brain on the front right lobe. You got a tumor up there. Know right where it's at. You know, thought he was had a Messiah complex. He was God. Knew more than... I didn't know what I had. But you see, they'll treat you awful. They need to see somebody love them. You may not understand every minute detail, but if you've ever had an encounter with God, an encounter with the Holy Ghost, and the seed, the human instrumentality, and God's had a completed work on you, you're going to be able to stay with some people and love them. Amen? But our problem today, preachers won't stay with you. Church members won't stay with you. Amen? They don't understand. And they're afraid they'll get branded. I can't even lead in silent prayer in most nurseries. Y'all get that in a minute. Amen? I mean, I've had some preachers that told them, said, you go up there and hold a meeting for Edgar Pascoe. They won't even have you to preach. I know who told them that. I still remember what he told me one day down at Merle. I ain't forgot that. One of these days, I believe something's going to happen. I believe I'll get a hook in him. Hey, I'm still loving him. Amen? But I still remember what he said. He told the preacher, said, you go up there. He won't. And listen, Brother Tim, first time he came to hold a meeting for him, he had three meetings canceled on him because they just come to our church to hold a meeting. You ought to be able to preach in any place in this world. Well, if they'd let me, I'd go to the Jehovah's Witness and preach. I wouldn't compromise my message. Amen? Huh? We ought to be able to preach anywhere. But somebody said, well, if you go over there, I can't have you. No, it ought to be. You ought to be able to preach the gospel. You ought to love people. You know what I'd like to be noted as? A lover of sinners. We got the people coming over from England. Lady sits on the second pew. Her husband sits there. She sits on the end where she can get out and get to the altar. And she goes pretty regularly. Every time she goes, she carries a box of Kleenex. Amen. She said, got up and testified the other night. She said, thank God for a lover of sinners. Well, I don't tell you, we don't deserve. We can't do it. I can't love nobody within myself. But we need to love people. But if you haven't had an encounter and understand them, how can you? You know why God lets you go through some things? That's not just in the area of salvation, but he says in 2 Corinthians 1:3, I'll get right in a minute, 1:3, he said, he's the God of comfort who comforts us in all of our problems and all our troubles and tribulation. Why? Because he said, so that we might comfort others when they have to go through the same thing. Now, I didn't quote it word for word, but that's what it says basically. He said, that's why God allows those things to come so he can comfort us, so that we can turn around and comfort others, Brother Paul. Amen. I mean, he helps us to do that. We need to love people. What? Somebody said, oh, I thought I loved people before. In fact, the Bible said when you're saved and you've experienced that straight gate, he said he sheds that love abroad in your heart. Amen? That's not right? And he sheds out. I remember one time a preacher calling me and he said, you say you love people. This is when I was lost over at Southside. And this young preacher in that church called me. He said, you say you love people. He's on the phone. Glad he was. I might have hit him. And because I loved him. You get the point? And he said, you say you love people, but I know what happens if people cross your path. You mark them off your little black book. I told him I didn't, but I marked him off my little black book that day. Y'all get the point? We think we love, but we got a deceived heart. But when God's done a work in you, you don't mean you'll be perfect. Don't mean you won't make mistakes. But it means you care because you know what he's done and because you had an encounter on the road of life. He gave an invitation. He responded. He worked holy. By the way, but that's complete godly sorrow worketh repentance, and that's a work of God. You can't work that up, that death blow, a final of a change of mind, change of attitude, change of heart. He produces that in you, and he produces faith in you. Amen? It's his faith, not your faith. That's an encounter on the road of life. And when that's produced, then you can obey the gospel. Easy. Amen? Repent and believe, which is necessary. But it's his work. Who gets the glory? Not Brother Charles. Oh, sure, we will. I'm thankful Brother Charles coming by my way. But he gets the glory. You see? He gets the glory. Because it's his work. He brought us out to bring us in. He that hath begun a good work will perform it. He's not playing with you like a cat does a mouse. He wants to carry you in. And even though it seems bad, He's just putting that rebuke on you. He's just trying to shake you up to bring you to a settled persuasion that you're lost and undone. Judgment. That you see and not just the fruit of it. Don't slap the fruit. Deal with the root. That's what He does. He brings you to that place to where you recognize, I've never trusted Jesus as my Lord. Then He lifts him up. I'm not talking about a set of facts. I can't tell you what degree or what area, but out of the bosom of the Father, the Holy Ghost brings a revealed Christ to you and says, that's Him. He's all you need. And boy, I want to tell you, He puts repentance in there and He puts faith in there. And at that point, you can turn. You can leave it all behind. He becomes Lord and you can trust Him. You can cast it all upon Him. He's all I need. And you say, but how's that happen? It's His work. Man, I can't explain it. I can't do it, but He wants to do it. Road of Light. Have you had the encounters on the Road of Light? Got to get honest as He gives you understanding. Oh, if you didn't have that real encounter, didn't make it all the way through the straight gate, just turn to the narrow way and call it that. I'm not talking broadcast it to the world. Just get honest with yourself. Honest with God about it. And let God finish in you what He started. He's faithful. He that hath begun a good work will perform it unto the day of Christ. Faithful is He who calleth you who will do it. Amen. He'll carry you through. You're a candidate. Oh, blessed. If you just know God is, you can be thankful tonight and praise Him for what He's done. Father, I don't know anything else to do tonight. Lord, forgive me for anything that I should have brought forward and forth that I didn't. Anything that I said that might have been twisted and turned and I thought come out one way, come out another. I pray You'd twist it around in their minds. Help them to realize above all things that You love them and that we love them and that You're not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance. Now I pray that tonight somebody might have that encounter of the invitation after the full work of the Holy Ghost conviction has been done, that they'd have an encounter of the invitation to come to You and be saved. Oh Lord, I don't know what needs to be done, but You do. I know I can't, but You can. Lord, we put it into Your hands, praying that You personalize Yourself to some individual. I want to thank You for helping us tonight. I want to thank You for touching hearts. We may not know all about it right now, but we know that You've done something tonight. There's been some encounters tonight in some area tonight. And I pray that somebody can say, touch my soul, save me tonight. Oh, Lord, move. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray.